Hey friends, I want to thank you very much for tuning in to the SGT Report podcast. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. So stocks are at all-time highs, the housing market is on fire, interest rates are at zero, and this government just printed another $5 trillion. What could possibly go wrong? Meanwhile, consumer confidence hit a 10-year low, and inflation hit 6.8% officially, with many informed analysts saying it's much closer to 9%. So something's not adding up, is it? What can you do? You can play it safe. Putting some of your assets into precious metals will keep your money away from the volatility of markets and inflation and let you sleep at night. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free 1/10 ounce solid gold American Eagle coin with any qualifying plan you start. So talk to an expert at Noble Gold and they'll run you through the options to keep your money safe. No pressure, no hassling, no call centers, just a chance to speak to someone who knows what they're talking about. How refreshing would that be? You can start by calling 877-646-5347 or visit their website at noblegoldinvestments.com.
The moon landing, the first one, was fake completely under Johnson's watch. That's according to my source, who stood beside President Johnson at this military base while they filmed Apollo 11 a year in advance. Very interesting on the list, which is in the book, Buzz Aldrin was there. Neil Armstrong was there, but Michael Collins was not, which is very interesting because he's not supposed to be walking on the moon. So they didn't want him seeing the set.
Hey guys, that was Bart Sabrell. And I can guarantee you, you're not going to hear an interview like this one on CNN or MSNBC. So sit back, relax, and I hope you enjoy this one. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Crypto is a very fast way to build wealth. That's why Colin Plume, the CEO of Noble Gold, created MyDigitalMoney.com. It's the cryptocurrency platform that offers the best US-based phone support service. With MyDigitalMoney.com, you'll get a real-life human being to answer your call. Don't understand how crypto IRAs work? You need help on how to sell your cryptos? Are you worried about the controversy over a crypto you already invested in? Call MyDigitalMoney.com. And here's a special treat. If you're unsure whether crypto investing is for you, open a Play Money account with MyDigitalMoney.com and try trading without any risk. So go to MyDigitalMoney.com right now and start building your wealth. Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. Thank you so very, very much for tuning in. This is going to be a very powerful interview. Now, for those who are wondering if we ever went to the moon, some say it was faked. Others say, of course, we went to the moon in 1969 and 70, 71. According to the Institute of Physics, how do we know that we went to the moon? Every single argument claiming that NASA faked the moon landings has been discredited, they say. Well, not so fast. Bart Sabrell, the filmmaker behind A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon and Astronauts Gone Wild, who has been a guest on this show many previous times, I think Bart might take exception to those claims. Bart has a new book out called Moon Man, The True Story of a Filmmaker on the CIA Hit List, and I will leave the link below so you can run out and get that immediately. Bart, welcome back.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
Well, I am doing quite well. So we know you've been in trouble with the powers that ought not be over the years, meddling in the officialdom regarding the Apollo moon missions. I think A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon is a seminal documentary in terms of providing actual proof that we know some things were faked, like, for instance, the near-Earth orbit when the astronauts were said to be more than halfway to the moon. That's in your documentary. And we know that you couldn't get these astronauts to swear on a Bible that they actually stepped foot on the moon. And now, Bart, you've got some real bombshells in your new book, Moon Man. Where would you like to begin?
Well, I've been working on Moon Man, the book, for about 15 years, and I spent the last 2 years just editing the book. And basically, I started out as a dramatic filmmaker, did commercials, music videos, and this whole moon landing fraud investigation kind of sidetracked my life for about 2 decades. And the book is kind of like my final statement on the matter. I hope to go back to feature filmmaking. I've got a feature film in the works, a script already, and I want to go back to making fictional, inspirational films. So I thought I would disclose many things that I have not disclosed before, one of which is the actual location of where Apollo 11 was filmed in June of 1968. The book reveals the actual name of the military base here in the United States where that was filmed, the official CIA code name for the project, and a list of 15 people who were actually eyewitnesses there at the time, some of whom are still alive. All of this information was given to me by the chief of security of this military base on his deathbed. He wanted to get it off of his chest. He wanted to basically confess that this is what happened. And he even still justified, well, they must have had a really good reason for doing it. He also knew of a homicide that had taken place at his military base of a coworker because they were going to basically come forward and tell the world what was really going on. When I was confirming all of this information with the surviving family member, which was about 2 years ago, and editing the book, making sure I got all the details correct, their home was broken into after talking to me. And they had a security camera. They had a passcode, and whoever broke in knew their passcode, knew how to disable the cameras. They went in there and confiscated any relevant information about this, their relative. They kind of scrubbed them from the record that they were in this particular branch of the military and at that base. And then about 3 days after that, they actually had two visitors, men in black, if you will, who said if they ever talked to me again, they would kill them. And so at that time, I contacted the press secretary of the White House, United States Senator on the Intelligence Committee, and told them that this whistleblower and his surviving family member was in danger. Their lives were being threatened because of this. The FBI were also involved in the region where this person lived, and they got protection from this. You know, the interesting thing about this, and I was thinking about what do I want to say, and to you and on this particular podcast, you know, I think what with all this stuff, strange stuff going on about the, you know, fake pandemic and dangerous injections, there really needs to be unity among the alternative media community. And, you know, I haven't really said much about Joe Rogan or Alex Jones. At one time, Joe Rogan called me up. This was when we were producing A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. He firmly believed the moon landings were fake, took me out to dinner in Los Angeles and said, you have my full support. Alex Jones has kind of reluctantly never really talked about this particular fraud seriously. He had an uncle who worked at NASA and thought, well, he would have heard something. Of course, that's like saying the guy who sold popcorn at the Super Bowl knows that the game wasn't fraudulent, which, you know, they're totally unrelated to one another. And I think the reason is that the, you know, the top two podcasters are reluctant to talk about this is it's kind of being associated with the most preposterous of all conspiracies. But there's a good catch 22 about this. And the book, I go into great detail about, you know, America basically being lost, that the moon landing fraud is the pinnacle example of that. And while it is an embarrassing thing to be associated with, to say, yes, indeed, I know that the moon landings were fake, it's also the very government fraud that, if exposed, would do the most good to reform the country and the world. So they're both these podcasters seem to have a reluctance. I've never been on their shows. I've been on Coast to Coast 3 times. And yet I have this new information of the code name of the project, the military base it was filmed, and a list of 15 people who were there at the time. And I'm not on their shows because they're like too embarrassed to be associated with it. And yet they don't realize that if the truth comes out, that yes, indeed, this outrageous government deception did indeed take place. I mean, if somehow someone came forward and confessed into the light about this, it would be the most influential confession. It would be the most influential exposure of a government fraud that would have the most change and the most impact, even though this particular fraud killed fewer people, much fewer people than like 9/11 or the Gulf of Tonkin or, you know, fluoridation or whatever poisons they're putting in the air or water or food or whatever. It's the most symbolic of the outrageousness of the arrogance of the deep state and their just blatant lying. Even though it killed the fewest number of people, I think it would have the most impact on instituting change in our government and the world if it came out. And so I think these two podcasters have to talk about it because it's an absolute fact. I have an eyewitness who was there at the time. He stood beside President Johnson while they filmed the thing at his military base. And he's the one who gave me the list of 15 people who were there. And so we got him. We have this information. Even his relative, when I talked about this information 2 years ago in editing the final draft of Moon Man, the book that discloses all this information, his house was broken into, his life was threatened because the government is so afraid because they know, even though 9/11 was a scam, Kennedy was killed by the CIA, and all these other shenanigans are going on, they know that this particular conspiracy, fraud, crime, whatever you want to call it, would bring down the United States corrupt system. It would be the finger coming out of the dike. So I'm hoping that this book will catch on. And I've really, you know, remained neutral most of the time about Alex Jones and Joe Rogan. But I realized with all this, you know, they're doing such a great job, the deep state is faking the pandemic, that we really need to be unified on the alternative media community. And I wanted to basically, you know, say I appreciate the work that Joe Rogan and Alex Jones are doing. They've done phenomenal exposure and truth-telling about things. And yet they're reluctant to talk about this most embarrassing one. And yet it's the very thing, if exposed, would do the most good. And now we've got them. Moon Man discloses all of this information from an eyewitness. And so I'm hoping that this will be the finger out of the dike and will bring down the deep state.
Bart, this is a very, very critical piece of information you're sharing here today. So you say that the chief of security of this secretive military base reached out to you and confessed on his deathbed. Tell us how that happened. Did you actually get to meet this person in the real world? And how did this person reach out to you?
Well, I don't want to go into too much detail because the person's surviving relative, at least in 2 years ago, was in danger because of it. But basically, that relative whose life was threatened for simply talking to me was the liaison between me and their relative who was there at the time. And they had seen me on, I think, an HBO special or Geraldo talking about the moon landing fraud. They judged that I was sincere and that if they were going to give this information to anyone, they trusted me to be the one to release this information to the world. I can tell you, I called up two people on this list. Okay. This list of 15 people who were there at the time. Surprisingly, I had not heard of about half of them. And they were CIA and various people I'd never heard of, a lot of whom I have heard of. And when I contacted two of these surviving ones to let them know I had this information, it was immediately after then that the guy's house was broken into and his life was threatened because they, you know, backtraced and pulled out all the archives of my phone calls and figured out who I was talking to. But I can tell you there are good people in the government who are fighting the bad people in the government. I don't know exactly what they're up to, but there are two factions, maybe three, literally zapping each other's satellites and doing all sorts of strange things behind this, who have been in touch with me, who encourage me. They tell me they've got my back. And so what we basically have is an underground civil war that's been going on at least since Kennedy was killed, between two or more factions in the government, good versus evil, and by mutual agreement, they never publicize it. They sweep it under the rug. But, you know, with this whole fake pandemic and these, you know, deadly injections going on and complete censorship, I mean, it boggles my mind that the world record for a truck convoy protest that beat the previous record by 1,000% blocks an international border between two countries, and it's not reported in the news. I mean, how can the news possibly be objective? These people did an excellent job killing Kennedy, an excellent job faking the moon landing, an excellent job with the Gulf of Tonkin and 9/11, the moon landing fraud, the pandemic, and they're just getting better and better and better at deceiving people and controlling all the information. And so my plea is for us in the alternative media to be unified, to come up with some sort of plan and to take these people down. And the way to take them down is simply the truth. You know, when Jesus said the truth will set you free, imagine an astronaut comes forward and he says, yes, it was filmed there, and it was done at this time, and the moon landings were fake, and they were, you know, they're one of the astronauts. Imagine the great impact that would have on our country. I mean, everything would be reorganized. There would be hearings, and the deep state would run for the shadows. And that's how we're going to, you know, win, is simply with the truth, which is disclosure. And that's why censorship is so unbelievably heavy in a country that's allegedly, you know, has free speech and freedom of the press. It's not freedom of the press. You know, you and I were both taken down from YouTube. I was demonetized, and you were demonetized and then taken down. If they're a neutral platform and we're journalists and they're inhibiting freedom of the press, why isn't no one investigating that? William Benny appears on even, you know, mainstream media 3 or 4 years ago and says the NSA is spying on the phone calls of Supreme Court justices in order to blackmail them into voting a particular way. Not a single investigation into that. I mean, that's how bad it is. It's just unbelievable. So basically a third of the book, Moon Man, is the how and why and the details and revealing this new information of, yes, indeed, the moon landings were fraudulent, using simple logic and, you know, basic examples of why indeed it was fake. A third is my kind of behind the scenes espionage adventures. And the last third is really just a rallying cry for changing the world and our country that, look, the moon landings were indeed falsified. And if we don't stop these people, you know, our country is going to be irreversibly gone, and it'll be run by criminals until the end of time. And so the moon landing fraud is like the pinnacle example of the outrageous control of the deep state. That's why if the truth comes out about this, if more alternative media people, you know, talk about this, get light bulbs to go off in people's head, eventually they will demand the truth and the truth will come out.
Well, before I ask my next question, let me do a screen share here and play this clip. Now, in my last video, I played a clip from Sleepy Joe Biden in which he admitted prior to being, quote unquote, elected, that they had constructed or put together the most comprehensive, far-reaching voter fraud system in the history of mankind. Those are his words. I think a lot of times these senile men let the truth spill out almost subliminally. And I think maybe such a thing happened here in this exchange between Buzz Aldrin and this little girl.
Why has nobody been to the moon in such a long time?
That's not an 8-year-old's question. That's my question. I want to know, but I think I know. Because we didn't go there, and that's the way it happened. And if it didn't happen, it's nice to know why it didn't happen. So in the future, if we want to keep doing something, we need to know why something stopped in the past that we wanted to keep it going. money is a good thing.
All right, I'll pause it there. Boy, you know what, Bart, honest to God, I think that the truth ultimately outs itself. In this case, Buzz Aldrin living with what you would deem a lie for his entire life. Finally, the truth spills out, especially as these men age and they get in their older years, Bart. The truth comes out. And if what you're saying is correct, well, Buzz just spilled the beans there. Now, you say that there's an official CIA code name for the real Apollo missions or the Apollo project. Can you tell us what that code name is?
Well, you know, you have to read the book to find out. It was Johnson's code name that he came up with. And I explain why he came up with that particular code name. And, you know, it was kind of a personal saying of President Johnson. It was one of the reasons, if not the reason, why he did not run for re-election when he was eligible. You know, the first term was less than 50% when he succeeded Kennedy. So he was eligible to run for re-election in 1968, and he chose not to run. And it's my belief that the reason was is because they, you know, he was preparing. He basically, the moon landing, the first one was fake, completely under Johnson's watch. That's according to my source, who stood beside President Johnson at this military base while they filmed Apollo 11 a year in advance. And who knew that would work? I mean, imagine if you got caught as president faking the moon landing. So he didn't want to have anything to do with that. He said, I'm not going to run. I'm not going to be president when they're faking the moon landing because, you know, I could get caught. He passed that potato on to Nixon, who just gave it the thumbs up. It was already in the can to do so. I mean, I've met with 8 of these Apollo astronauts, and most of the time was actually off the record, not recorded in Astronauts Gone Wild. I've been to their houses and I've talked to them privately. One or more of them made it very clear to me that I was correct and good luck. And, you know, if there was just one person who claimed to walk on the moon and that was it, the truth probably would have come out. They probably would have confessed. The problem is, if any of these surviving astronauts confesses, he's basically ruining the lives of the other astronauts as well. So they're not likely to do that. I mean, Joe Rogan admits that the pictures are fake, that their behavior at the first press conference looks like they're at a funeral instead of winners of the Super Bowl, but somehow maybe they still win anyway. I mean, it's very simple. If the pictures are fake, that means they didn't go, because if they really went, they wouldn't need to fake the pictures. I mean, it's so simple. When Lindbergh flew across the Atlantic in 1927, 10 years later, thousands of airplanes were flying across the Atlantic. And when they dropped the atomic bomb, you know, in 1945, 10 years later, atomic bombs were 1,000 times more powerful. And so to say that we went to the moon in 1969 with 1/1,000th the computing power of a cell phone in all of NASA, if that were true, then 10 years later, we would have been on Mars. And 50 years later, we would be in another solar system by now. That's like claiming, you know, Toyota built a car 50 years ago that can go 50,000 miles on a gallon of gasoline, but their best car today can only do 50 miles. I mean, what they're claiming is, I mean, today with 5 decades better technology than Apollo 11, they can now only travel 1/1,000th the distance to the moon. So how could technology that's 5 decades older go 1,000 times farther than 50-year newer technology can go? It completely contradicts logic. If it weren't for these kind of, religious, you know, experience, people think, isn't it great? Isn't science great? Isn't aerospace? How dare you say, you know, the moon landing, it's a sacred cow. But eventually, as time goes by, people are seeing, you know, it doesn't make sense. I mean, basically, it's impossible for technology to go backwards. It's impossible. So how could they have 1,000 times greater capability 50 years ago than they do today? Well, they can't. It's impossible. And then they destroyed all the hardware I mean, think about it. Imagine Bill Gates spending $200 billion, which is what the moon landing cost in today's dollars, to build the first computer. And when he's done, he throws it into the furnace and all the blueprints and schematics as well. No one would ever do that. Maybe they should have done that with the atomic bomb, but they didn't even do that. So, you know, if they really went to the moon and spent $200 billion making this hardware that could pull it off, they would never throw it away. The fact that they did throw it away is proof of the fraud, because if they really went, they wouldn't throw it away. And if there was a fraud, they would throw it away to cover the evidence of the fraud. That's proof itself that they didn't go. So it's very simple logic deduction that they didn't go to the moon. And I just show one simple picture from Apollo 11 where the, you know, the shadows are intersecting at 90 degrees from objects five feet apart from one another. I mean, that's so clearly electrical lighting. I mean, that's all the proof you need. And then in a funny thing happened on the way to the moon, we discovered unedited footage of them faking a shot right in front of your eyes over and over again, creating a fake impression that they're halfway to the moon.
In Apollo 11, calling in from about 137 miles out.
Okay, so that's supposed to be the Earth floating in space. Now let's take a look at it over here. Meaning they never left Earth orbit. And what a surprise, 50 years later, they can't leave Earth orbit either. And Moon Man is also an interactive book. There are basically 15 video links, which are all at Sibrel, Sibrel.com. And when you read a little bit, it says stop here and, you know, look at this link. Stop here and look at this video link. The whole thing is documented, backed up. It becomes crystal clear that, yes, indeed, the moon landings were fake. And now what? And now what is we need to stop these people who are running our government with lies, lying about the pandemic, lying about the moon landing, lying about the start of the Vietnam War, lying about 9/11, lying about who killed Kennedy. If we don't stop these people, we're in big trouble. So my plea is for all of us in the alternative media, Joe Rogan, Alex Jones, yourself, myself, and a bunch of other good people need to become unified, need to come up with a plan and just keep putting the truth out there. The truth will finally, people will have an epiphany about this. And that's the unique thing. You know, I guess Joe Rogan and Alex Jones are afraid to be associated with saying something so preposterous as the moon landings are fake. And yet that's the very thing that if exposed would hurt the public so much that they would demand reform. So it's the most important fraud that the government did to come out. Even though it killed the fewest people, it would just wake people up that they held ticker tape parades for these people. They put it in the encyclopedia. They teach it in college that they went to the moon, and the whole thing was a lie. If the truth comes out about that, I believe that's what we need in order to make our country better again.
All right, well, let's talk about the Hollywood aspect of these moon missions, because I want to ask you an important question here in a second. But first, let me show you guys this. So you guys will remember the Ron Howard movie, Apollo 13. I would assume most of the audience listening has seen that movie. It's a really good movie. It's very well done. Well, there is Ed Harris right there in this image. Ed Harris, who portrayed Gene Kranz, in a very powerful performance. And you'll recall the seminal scene in that movie, Bart, where Gene Kranz, Ed Harris, rallies the troops and says, not on my watch. Okay, we're not going to let these guys die. We're going to get them back. And they were trying to save these guys who were in that crippled module said to be returning to Earth. Okay, so Gene Kranz, played by Ed Harris. Well, let's listen to this. Flight director Gene Kranz, the very same Gene Kranz portrayed in that Hollywood movie directed by Ron Howard, says right here that, well, what a mystery. All of the telemetry data is gone. The world's most significant accomplishment, going to the moon, and all of the telemetry data is gone.
It was all recorded on these telemetry tapes. So where is this hard evidence?
I haven't seen anything that indicates the telemetry data is even in existence. And as I said, even if we had it, we don't have the machines to play it back.
Okay, that's Gene Kranz. That's the guy portrayed by Ed Harris in the movie, the Hollywood movie, Apollo 13, the hero. That's the hero. Here he is in real life.
But your own research has shown the telemetry data is missing.
That's right.
Could
Was that you asking him that question, Bart? Who was that?
No, that was Aaron Rainin asking him that question. And he and I appeared on the Geraldo show together. He did his own investigation and he came up with that. I found out through Ron Howard's film that the video had all disappeared. Basically, what people saw on television that kind of made them believe, hey, men are on the moon, was that simple black and white image. That was like fourth generation. They wouldn't even allow the networks a direct feed. They basically projected it on this huge screen. So you imagine projection video quality from 1969. They made a TV camera film that, which went to a monitor, and they made people film that monitor. They were deliberately degrading the video. So when Ron Howard was like executive producer on this IMAX film, they wanted to, you know, get these high resolution original tapes. So he made a request for NASA. Give me all these originals. We're going to project them 100 feet wide at, you know, 10 times the resolution that anyone has ever seen them before. And that's when they all disappeared. I estimate that this is like 1 to 2 tons of 1-inch videotapes that somehow mysteriously vanished right as they were going to transfer them to HD, right? So when you watch that, you know, IMAX documentary about the moon landings, it's like 95% reenactments. And they actually had to go to Blockbuster Video and pull out a VHS tape. You can see the tracking, you know, line at the bottom, and they reduced it to like 5% of the screen size because the quality was so bad, because there's so little of the documentation. So not only did they destroy the hardware, the blueprints, the electronic design that they spent $200 billion building, they destroyed the telemetry data, which is at the basically where the spacecraft actually is, which is in Earth orbit the entire time. They went up in front of people to get zero gravity footage, and they just orbited the Earth for 8 days and splashed back down. And not only did they lose or destroy the hardware, the schematics, the engineering diagrams, they destroyed the proof of where the spacecraft was. And then they destroyed all the original videotapes because these were fake sets and they were afraid high resolution might reveal too much information. All that itself is proof of the fraud. I mean, it just boggles the mind that, that's what they did. Well, let me tell you, of the list of 15 people who were there when the thing was being filmed at this military base, which I disclose in Moon Man, Eugene Krantz was on the list. And he's one of the two people, some friends of mine, good guys in the government, actually told me to call because they wanted, I guess, to backtrace who they called at the CIA, because my sources, you know, a surviving relative, his house was broken into. Well, that was basically set up by the good guys in the government. They had me call Eugene Krantz, who apparently hung up and called the CIA, who broke into the guy's house, and the good guys were tracing all of this information to incriminate the criminals who are doing all of this. And so, you know, Eugene Krantz was there at the time. I spoke to him. And another little interesting thing happened during that conversation. When I told him, I got the military base, I got the code name, I got the dates, and you're there, from the chief of security, said you were there watching Apollo 11 being filmed a year in advance. What do you got to say for yourself, right? So I call up the guy, and he doesn't even answer the phone with a hello. He waits for the other person to speak first, which is kind of weird. And I'm like, you know, is the call going through? I hang up, I call back. And then he said something like, is this tech support about the satellite comm conference with Cernan? Apparently, they have these high military grade scrambled video conferencing equipment in their houses that they can talk to all the, you know, fake Apollo astronauts and laugh about how they're fooling the world or whatever they talk about. And he thought, apparently he was having some tech problem. He thought I was the tech person calling him to say, hey, you know, be sure to, you know, reset it or unplug it, plug it back in or whatever. And then he says, is this about the satellite comm video conferencing call with Cernan? Okay, well, that has to be Eugene Cernan, who allegedly died 2 years before that. So apparently Eugene Cernan is alive and well. And a lot of them died right before the 50th anniversary, so they wouldn't have to deal with these embarrassing questions that are inevitably asked. What do you have to say for, you know, about Bart Sobral's discovery of fake photography? What's your answer to that? So a lot of them, you know, died, faked their death or whatever. And I had Eugene Krantz on the phone acknowledging that Gene Cernan was still alive.
This is a perfect time for a break, friends, and a quick message from our sponsor. So stocks are at all-time highs. The housing market is on fire. Interest rates are at zero. And this government just printed another $5 trillion. What could possibly go wrong? Meanwhile, consumer confidence hit a 10-year low, and inflation hit 6.8% officially, with many informed analysts saying it's much closer to 9%. So something's not adding up, is it? What can you do? You can play it safe. Putting some of your assets into precious metals will keep your money away from the volatility of markets and inflation and let you sleep at night. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free 1/10 ounce solid gold American Eagle coin with any qualifying plan you start. So talk to an expert at Noble Gold, and they'll run you through the options to keep your money safe. No pressure, no hassling, no call centers, just a chance to speak to someone who knows what they're talking about. How refreshing would that be? You can start by calling 877-646-5347 or visit their website at noblegoldinvestments.com. Well, that's really interesting.
After he died.
That's really interesting, Bart. And it reminds me of the Space Shuttle Challenger astronauts. I don't know if you've ever Binged or Googled or searched for the images of the people said to have died aboard the Space Shuttle Challenger during that disaster. A lot of them have doppelgangers or what are said to be twins that are alive and well, and are professors and other high-level people still alive and well in the world today. So that's just an aside, but let me ask you this. Every Hollywood movie has a director. So before I ask you this question, do you know, based on your whistleblower on his deathbed confession, do you know what year they filmed the Apollo moon landing? What year did they fake it? Was it a full year before? Because
yeah,
I think a lot of people...
I can tell you the dates. I mean, I'm going to...
Well, a lot of people like me may have thought, oh, they faked it live. But no.
No, not at all. That was okay. way too dangerous. They did the audio, some of the audio live that we know they had an earpiece in, because the footage we uncovered of them faking being halfway to the moon, they left a channel open accidentally of the CIA telling them not to talk to NASA until 4 seconds go by. So NASA would ask them a question, saying, hey, you know, how are you doing? The CIA would count off 1001, 1002, 1003, 1004. And then the CIA would say, talk. And then Neil Armstrong would start speaking. You can, you know, show that clip if you want.
Oh, Apollo 11, Houston, Goldstone says that the TV looks great. Over.
Okay, so according to NASA, there is nobody on this channel except Houston Control and the astronauts. And so some of the audio was done live so that they could be spontaneous. They could cover. They said, hey, you're coming down the ladder now, or supposed to be. And then he'd say, all right, I'm coming down the ladder now. But the video was playback. I can tell you it was filmed June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of 1968. At this military base in the United States, where my source was chief of security. And they did it, that's, you know, 13 months in advance to make sure they had all. They knew they couldn't go. Kennedy was a politician, not a scientist. So after they went up for like 15 minutes, they didn't even orbit the Earth. 3 days later, Kennedy says, we're going to go to the moon before the end of the decade. And the scientists are like, you know, what are you talking about? I mean, look at the South Pole. The South Pole has 100 mile per hour winds, 100 degrees below zero Fahrenheit, and yet there are bases there. Well, why are there bases there? Because it's humanly possible. If it were so easy to go to the moon, you know, with 1969 equipment that predates most people's cell phones and microwaves, that all of NASA had 1/1,000,000th the computing power of a cell phone. Imagine all the synchronizing of things you have to do, right? If it were so easy to go with that backward technology on the first attempt, there'd be bases all over the moon by multiple countries. And yet there aren't any. Why are there not bases on the moon? Because it cannot be done. Why are the pictures fake? Because they didn't go. Why did they look like they're at their mother's funeral at the first press conference instead of high-fiving everybody? Because they're lying to the world about the greatest accomplishment. It's very simple. They cannot go to the moon today. So how could they possibly go 50 years ago on the first attempt with this, you know, untried technology? I mean, you have the lunar module allegedly orbiting the moon somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 miles per hour. And you allegedly have the lunar module lifting off and perfectly synchronizing with that. If they were off by more than a tenth of a second, they would die. So how could a computer 1,000, 1 millionth the speed of a cell phone synchronize that in real time with the time delay, you know, going on? It just doesn't make any sense. It's outrageous to say that they went. And if it weren't such a religious sacred cow, more people would acknowledge this fraud. I mean, look at Elon Musk. Okay, Elon Musk is trying to land a rocket vertically. You know how many times it took him to do that? They had the best, fastest supercomputers and probably 5 supercomputers working simultaneously to get that thing to land vertically. And it couldn't do it 5 times in a row. It was like the 6th attempt with 5 supercomputers. So we're talking about something that's probably 10 million times faster than the NASA equipment in 1969. And it still crashed 5 times to land vertically first. So how could they land vertically every single time they tried with 1/10 millionth the computing power? I mean, it's just preposterous. Yeah, and then to say that the lunar module could sit there in 250 degrees and they got it down to 72 degrees with air conditioning running on a bank of car batteries. I mean, that's preposterous. And then we have von Braun saying himself in a 1950s publication that, you know, there are millions of grains of sand, basically meteorites, hitting the lunar surface every day nonstop. So that if one tiny grain of sand, which the moon is constantly pelted with tens of thousands of them, if that hits your spacecraft or spacesuit going at 25,000 miles an hour, you're going to have explosive decompression and be killed. He said you had to build a cave and go into the cave. He said, and we disclosed this in the book and in Astronauts Gone Wild, that in order to reach the moon, you would need a rocket that's something like 30,000% bigger than the Saturn V rocket in order to reach the moon in one attempt. The guy recants on his math by 30,000% the day after Kennedy says we're going to go, you know, in 8 years. China is the most industrialized nation on Earth. And with 5 decades better technology, they say it's going to take 15 years, twice the time to put a man on the moon than it did 50 years ago. I mean, does that make sense to anybody? It's so crystal clear that the moon landings are fake. Everybody who reads the book sees a funny thing happen on the way to the moon with the proof of them faking being halfway to the moon right in front of your eyes. They create a 1-foot model of the Earth claiming they're far away from it. We have the CIA asking them to create a fake radio delay as if they're further away. We have shadows intersecting at 90 degrees from objects 2 feet apart from one another when sunlight is always parallel. And we have the testimony of the chief of security who was there at the time when they filmed Apollo 11, June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of 1968 and stood beside President Johnson, and the guy's relative's house is broken into for talking to me. Right. We have all the proof in the world. When will people just wake up? When will, you know, the alternative media people, the leaders of it, acknowledge, yes, the moon landings are fake? Because that is the one that is going to piss off the American public more than anybody and motivate them into action, into reforming our government and getting rid of the corruption. I mean, my point about William Benny is that when he confesses that Supreme Court justices' phone calls are being listened to so that they can get dirt on them to blackmail them into voting a particular way, when that is accepted as an absolute historic fact, and there's not a single congressional investigation, our country is in trouble. And so the moon landing fraud, if that truth came out, that would you know, make people so angry that they were deceived about such an important thing that they cried and waved their flag for. I think that this truth coming out is the most essential one to help reform the government.
All right. So you think this truth would help bring down the entire house of cards. And I would like to agree with you, but unfortunately, so many of the younger generation, they're so detached from this history. They didn't live through it. You're dialed into it, as am I, because it happened in our lifetimes. Now, I was just a baby, okay, when this thing happened in 1968. But here's a question I wanted to ask you, and you might have to speculate. But as a filmmaker, you know that every movie has a director. I think Ron Howard is a good director, but maybe the best director who ever lived was a guy named Stanley Kubrick. Now, Stanley Kubrick had a relationship with NASA. How NASA contributed to the cinematography of Barry Lyndon. Stanley Kubrick used a NASA-inspired lens to film. NASA lens on Barry Lyndon. Cameras, love them, hate them. As we're having this conversation, I want to remind people that the seminal movie 2001 A Space Odyssey came out in 1968. And as we consider my next question, I want to play the trailer to this movie, because if you haven't seen it, go see it. It's every bit as good today as it was then. It was 30 years ahead of its time, maybe 50 years ahead of its time. And some of the tricks Kubrick used to film the astronauts in this movie, the weightlessness and all these things that he showed in the movie, they're tricks that he never revealed how they were even done. Here's my point. Kubrick had a relationship with NASA. That's on the record. Kubrick was the most skilled filmmaker of maybe all time, certainly of his generation. What people are seeing here was shot prior to 1968. The film was released in 1968. You say that the moon missions were faked on a military base. I don't even care what base that was. Go get the book, guys. Read the book. It's called Moon Man. Bart, who was the mind behind the faking of these missions? Every movie has a director. Who directed this?
Well, I always say when I'm dealing with the CIA, which I go into great detail about my trials and tribulations dealing with them, in order to protect myself, I say, well, what would I do if I were them? So if I were faking the moon landing, I would have two choices. I could hire the general of the media department of the Pentagon, you know, who does, you know, propaganda films and recruitment films, and have great security, but terrible results. Or I could hire the best filmmaker on the planet and get the short-term benefit of looking like we were really on the moon and worry about security later. That would be the choice I would make. And what a coincidence, Stanley Kubrick was shooting a film in 1968, which is when Apollo 11 was filmed, about what? Going to the moon. And to this day, it's one of the top science fiction films ever made. The best science fiction film ever made was, of course, Apollo 11. And there's, of course, the little red rum boy in The Shining who has on a t-shirt. It's actually not a t-shirt. It's hand knit, you know, a shirt that says Apollo 11 on it. And I think he was kind of hinting that the moon landing was a fraud. He also, after 1968, refused to ever travel to America again. I think he feared for his life. He also died at the age of 70. And a lot of the people involved in the Apollo fraud also died at either 69 or 70, kind of like a determined retirement age, so they don't become senile and babble about, you know, what really happened. And he did have contacts in NASA. When he made Dr. Strangelove, he got access to a B-52, and those things are still in service today. And I think the military really liked Dr. Strangelove a lot. They really found the film intelligent and full of good humor. And he had also shot a film shortly after 2001 A Space Odyssey called Barry Lyndon. Barry Lyndon was the first feature film shot entirely and natural light, meaning there wasn't a single electrical light used in the entire film. There was sunlight during the day, and then they used candlelight, you know, inside night scenes. Well, in order to do that, he had to have a particular lens that could expose film under such low light conditions. And where did that lens come from? It came from NASA. So, yeah, I do think he was the one who did it. Also, people may not remember this, but Apollo 12 the astronaut allegedly accidentally pointed the camera at the sun and ruined it like a minute and a half into the flight. We know Apollo 13 didn't happen. Of course, that was simply because people were complaining that reruns were being shown, right? I mean, if they were going to the South Pole for the first time right now, we would stop and watch it. And if it's the second time, 6 months later, you know, whatever. And so Apollo 13 launched on April 13th, and at 13:13 military time has this, you know, accident, total contrived to add realism and drama to the program. So there was actually 2 years between Apollo 11 and Apollo 14 that NASA got their act together in order to emulate the craftsmanship of Kubrick. But actually, once people had accepted that men were on the moon, you could even make more mistakes and people would still believe it. In fact, the last alleged moon mission, Apollo 17, has a tremendous amount of photographic flaws in it that prove they're, you know, in a studio, and yet people had already bought it. So it didn't really matter to them. They just kept, you know, going to the moon over and over again. Simply, it's a cash cow for them. I mean, the lunar rover in today's dollars cost something like $100 million and had fewer parts than a Jeep. And so they were using this money for secret wars in Cambodia and Laos that weren't authorized by Congress. And that's the way that the system operates. Eisenhower warned us about this. He said, you know, look out for the deep state. I'm warning you. And he was even afraid to say it when he was still president. Said it the last day after being president for 8 years. You know, he knew what he was up against. And sure enough, Kennedy tried to take down the deep state and he paid the price for it. And everybody since then has, you know, bowed down, been blackmailed. I mean, President Trump couldn't even release the Kennedy assassination files 55 years later, right? Because they had dirt on him probably and threatened him. And the whole law about that was only written because of Oliver Stone's JFK film brought such outrage for the public. They wrote a law, which is really preposterous. The law basically said, we'll release the JFK files in 2017 unless the current president at that time decides not to. I mean, what kind of law is that? That's like saying, I promise I won't punch you unless I change my mind. I mean, and the public thinks that that's just some great disclosure law that they, you know, say they're going to release it on a particular day unless they change their mind. I mean, why was that law even accepted? It's kind of preposterous.
Well, let me do a screen share here before we wrap this up. I just want to flush this out a little bit further regarding Stanley Kubrick. For those that don't know, there are some documentaries out about the hoaxing of the moon missions. There's a really good one, Bart, the name of which escapes me, but it talks about the rear screen projection that Stanley Kubrick used in 2001, A Space Odyssey. I'll play this for folks here. This is the opening scene to 2001, and rear screen projection is the method that's used to make it look as though this isn't filmed on a soundstage, which it is. Okay, these aren't early men, these aren't cavemen, these aren't apes, they're actors in suits, and the rear screen projection you're seeing there makes it seem as though the background is infinite. It was shot in a studio, and the same technology is said to have been used, and there's evidence of it in photographs. The same technology is said to have been used, Bart, in the hoaxing or the filming of the moon missions that also happened on a soundstage. So I just wanted to share that with folks in case you had any insights.
Well, yeah, if you can find books from a library, you could basically check them out and then not return them and pay the replacement price. But if you can find books from 1970, 69, 71, 72, the early prints of the moon landings show the soil being brown. They're brown, I mean, a caramel brown in every picture. And then the soil of the backdrops is this gray blue. And so it made it super obvious that they were in a TV studio. Now, if you go to NASA's website now, you'll see that they changed the color of the soil to the same kind of grayish blue as the background. They definitely used rear projection for these. And, you know, the interesting thing about Kubrick, he was such a good filmmaker that when 1968 came around, 2001 was released, and so was Planet of the Apes. Now, Planet of the Apes received Best Makeup Award, and 2001, for their you know, men in suits, was not even nominated. Do you know why? Because the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences thought that the monkeys in 2001 were real. That's how good of a filmmaker Kubrick is. So if anyone was going to convince people that they were on the moon when they weren't, it was definitely Stanley Kubrick. I think it's kind of a side note. It doesn't really prove or disprove anything. There's a fake interview of him allegedly confessing this, which is totally fake, which is done deliberately as misinformation because he in fact did film it, more than likely. And, you know, one of the things they say is they talk about me being punched by Buzz Aldrin, which happened in 2002, and yet Kubrick died in 1999. So that's a fake. Then there's alleged WikiLeaks, you know, video of them behind the scenes filming. That's a fake too. The light falling, that's a fake. They have all of these fakes of the fake because they really did fake it. And they're trying to discredit people who say that the missions were fake because in fact, they really were faked. And that's the government and the world that we live in. They lie to encyclopedias. They lie to history. They lie to the scientific community, aerospace community. And they embezzle money and they basically take people's tax dollars to deceive them. And unless we do something about this, you know, it's going to get a lot worse. And they're going to achieve their agenda, which is basically to get rid of 93% of the population. That's their agenda. I mean, why would Bill Gates want to lower the population by 93%? He said out of his own mouth, and then develop a vaccine that's going to save the lives of millions of people.
Right. Yeah, you use know? Your critical thinking skills, friends. Well, look, man, I wish you luck getting on Joe Rogan's show, but I think that might be a little difficult now. He's taking so much heat for having the audacity of having a three-hour conversation with Dr. Robert Malone, the inventor of mRNA technology, and Dr. Peter McCullough. God forbid you actually sit down with men of science, actual medical doctors, actual scientists, and have a conversation about the dangers of an mRNA gene therapy masquerading as a vaccine. God forbid.
Well, one thing to consider is why would you take medicine for an illness you don't have, especially a medicine that's never been used on humans before? And then you remember there used to be public service announcements back in the olden days. You know what one public service announcement said, Sean? It said, when you go to a doctor and they tell you you have cancer or you need an amputation, get a second opinion. So all that we're doing is providing a second opinion of what the corrupt government has to say.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought it was standard operating procedure to get a second opinion when one doctor says something, to get maybe a contrary opinion and
nope.
Then to weigh them out.
Nope. Sorry, man. It doesn't work that way anymore. Not anymore. You have to take the orders of Dr. Fauci. You have to listen to officialdom. You have to listen to the mainstream horror media. You have to do what you're told to do. There is no more room for critical thinking, Bart. You should know that. Of course,
yeah,
I just.
Well, the censorship, I can't believe, you know, it's going on to the degree that it is. It's mind-boggling.
Well, and that's
Joseph
why
Goebbels
say
would be proud.
Yeah, and that's why I say you're going to have a hard time getting on Joe Rogan, because he's taking so much heat for having these conversations that probably the last thing he'd want to do is talk about fake moon missions.
I think it's a little bit different. For example, we have, as you know, 3,000 architects and engineers risking their lifelong reputation saying that the buildings, it's impossible for them to come down through airplanes. It'd be like throwing a pencil through a screen door structurally, and yet nothing is done about it. You know why? Because that's 20 years ago. It's old news. I don't think the deep state cares much about talking about the moon landing fraud or not. They would if the truth came out. They're so much censoring, you know, the injections and the pandemic, because that's a current event. They can basically, censorship happens to control what you think. Because if you can control what you think, it controls what you do. That's why they're so concerned and talking about the, you know, alleged pandemic and these injections, because that's a current thing that they want to currently control people's actions through what they think. 9/11, apparently, they could care less about. They got away with it. The moon landing, JFK, they don't really care, in my opinion. They've succeeded, but the current event That's the one they want to steer you into a particular direction. And that's why they're doing everything they can to control that information. And that's simply by only allowing one opinion. I mean, I don't know where these people get off, whether they're Republican or Democrat, but to think that the government isn't corrupt. I mean, I think what it boils down to, Sean, is people don't believe in God anymore. And without a belief in God, you have no concept of good versus evil, light versus darkness, you know, murderers versus victims, truth versus lies. You have no concept that that's going on. You think every politician and every astronaut is a hero. And that's pretty sad. Our national heroes are liars. That's what they're known for. They didn't go to the moon. We held ticker tape parades for them, gave them medals of honor for lying. And those are our country's heroes. That's pretty sad.
Guys, the name of the book is Moon Man, The True Story of a Filmmaker on the CIA Hit List by Bart Sabrell. And in this book, for the very first time, the official CIA code name for the real Apollo project is revealed, the military base where the first fake moon landing was filmed, as well as the names of 15 U.S. government scientists and officials who were recorded in attendance for the first moon landing falsification, some of whom are still alive today. You're going to want to get this book. I will leave the link below. Support Bart. He is a truth teller. Whether you agree with him or not, he definitely sticks his head out to tell the truth. Our guest has been Bart Sabrell. Bart, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Sean. You take care.
You as well, my friend. And my friends who have tuned in here today, thank you so very much. A special thanks to our subscribe stars and our members at sgtreport.tv, where we have a server beyond the reach of Big Brother. I want to thank all of you from the bottom of my heart and remind you, for real news 24/7, you can visit us directly at sgtreport.com. That's the antidote to corporate propaganda and Mockingbird mainstream media lies. God bless you and your family, friends. Bye-bye.
We've got to understand, not only just with the election, did they use 30 different ways in order to steal the election. With destroying America, they're taking about 30 different ways in order to attack every single aspect of American society, destroy it, so that way we have nothing left to hold on to, and then they're going to attempt to rebuild it in their own socialist, globalist, communist worldview.